From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's program, we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
Our text for this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6. Accepted in the Beloved. What a state of privilege! It includes our justification before God. But the term acceptance in the Greek means more than that. It signifies that we are the objects of divine complacency, nay, even of divine delight. How marvelous that we, worms, mortals, sinners, should be the objects of divine love. But it is only in the Beloved. Some Christians seem to be accepted in their own experience, at least that is their apprehension. When their spirits are lively and their hopes bright, they think God accepts them. They feel so high, so heavenly minded, so drawn above the earth. But when their souls cleave to the dust, they are the victims of the fear that they are no longer accepted. If they could but see that all their high joys do not exalt them, and all their low despondencies do not really depress them in their Father's sight, but that they stand accepted in one who never alters, in one who is always the beloved of God, always perfect, always without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, how much happier they would be, how much more they would honor the Savior. Rejoice, then, believer, in this. Thou art accepted in the Beloved. Thou lookest within, and thou sayest, there is nothing acceptable here. But look at Christ, and see if there is not everything acceptable there. Thy sins trouble thee, but God has cast thy sins behind his back, and thou art accepted in the Righteous One. Thou hast to fight with corruption, and to wrestle with temptation, but thou art already accepted in him who has overcome the powers of evil. The devil tempts thee. Be of good cheer. He cannot destroy thee, for thou art accepted in him who has broken Satan's head. Know by full assurance thy glorious standing. Even glorified souls are not more accepted than thou art. They are only accepted in heaven in the Beloved. And thou art even now accepted in Christ after the same manner.
Israel's for mine, O wonderful exchange. Clothed in my sin, Christ suffered 'neath God's rain.
Troublesome times for our nation, many people are looking to the government or to social action for a solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of both Duncan Campbell's account of what happened during those revival times on Lewis, as well as a CD containing personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. The CDs are available to you free of charge, simply by requesting your copies. You may write us at LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Just request your copies on the CDs of the revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. As he proceeds with the study of the law of God, Dr. Cairns is preaching a message entitled, Loving Others. According to our Lord's words in Matthew chapter 22, Christians are to love others as we love ourselves. This love is to be expressed to all those in need whom we are in a position to help, regardless of whether or not they return our love or can pay us back. What a heart-searching word this is. Yet, in doing so, we must never allow love for any human being to replace our love for God. In looking at what it means to love others, we see, first of all, that it means meeting their physical needs and relieving their suffering. Now, to continue this message, Loving Others, here is Dr. Cairns.
Allowing no person, be it father or mother or children, or brothers, or sisters, or friends, or acquaintance, allow no man, no woman to keep you from Christ. Allow no earthly love to make you disobey God. If you disobey God out of a love for some man, woman, or thing on earth, then you have replaced God on the throne of your heart. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, but never as thy God. Put no earthly relationship before the Savior. Let no man come between you and doing God's will. Now that is a vital, vital truth for every person who needs to be saved, because there's somebody standing between you and the Lord. Somewhere in the shadows of your life, if you're not a Christian tonight, I guarantee somewhere there's somebody pulling you away from Christ. There's somebody somewhere using an influence to keep you away from Christ. What the Savior's saying, do not allow that. Do not allow that. Make sure none comes between you and the Savior. And even if you are a Christian, there will often come the time when God sets before you the course of His will. And there will be someone in your life, saved or unsaved, who will stand in the way. I've dealt with people who have been born again. They have known and loved the Savior. But there comes a crisis in life when they're going to lose a lifelong friendship or maybe a family relationship if they obey God. The decision becomes very critical. But the Savior is adamant. You must not allow anyone to come between you and doing God's will. So when he says you're not to elevate anybody to the place that God should have in your life, he means that you shouldn't give them the affection that belongs solely to the Lord. But that's true also of the authority we accord to men. You should not accord to any man the authority that belongs only to God. There is a vicious thing that has happened in many parts of the professing church, and it is what's known as the personality cult. What happens in the personality cult is that there arises a person in a local church or in a denomination or even cutting across the denominational barriers. There arises a person who's perhaps larger than life. And these leaders are not held to the authoritative standards of the Word of God. They can tramp the Bible beneath their feet. People bow down to them rather than to the God of Scripture. The Bible is telling us here, you do not accord to any man the authority that belongs solely to the Lord your God. Furthermore, the Savior teaches us what is involved in this loving man. This is the precept. When he says love them, what does he mean? Well, he means meet their physical needs. Now, I know this is something that in a country like America, where there's such an emphasis on individualism, that this is something that's hard for people to swallow. But swallow it, we better, because this is what Jesus teaches. He's not teaching state intervention. He's teaching Christian intervention. He's saying you look after their physical needs. In recent years, there has been a wholly spurious argument arising in fundamentalism and evangelicalism, where it was thought that the only duty of the church was evangelism, and social action had no part of the church's mission. This was actually a response to the social gospel that was imported from Europe, and like most of the theological trends that come from Europe, it actually didn't come from Europe, it came from the pit. But let me tell you, the greatest social advances in the Western world have all come as the result of the preaching of the gospel. You read a little of your English history. Who was it that set about the very needed prison reforms? It was God's people. Who was it that went round the cities of England after the Industrial Revolution and took the little children, the urchins, who were dying of malnutrition and set up homes for the urchins and for the orphans? It was God's people. Names that have, at least in England, gone down into history. Dr. Barnardo, George Muller, C.H. Spurgeon, and a host of others. Who was it that built hospitals? Go right back in history. Hospitals came through the ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ. The healing ministry of the body. It was something that was developed mostly in connection with the ministry of the Church of Christ. Giving to the poor, it came through the Church of Christ. Feeding the hungry, it came through the Church of Christ. There's nothing new about this. If you love yourself, you'll not destroy your body. That's what Paul taught in Ephesians 5:29. And if you love your brother, you'll not destroy his body either. Moses wrote in Leviticus 25:35, if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen into decay by thee, then thou shalt relieve him. Yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. You look after their bodily needs. And this kind of love really is doing to other people what you hope that somebody would do for you if you fell in hard times. John said in 1 John 3:17, whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? high dwelleth the love of God in him. We have, I think, become inured to the sufferings of others. I think that television news has so majored in the shocking that people have become used to seeing the most horrendous of sights. I also have to admit that all too many supposed charities are really sinecures for people looking for fat salaries and little work, and it doesn't help you to give to them when 60, 70, 80 or 90% of all that's given goes to keep people rich in New York offices, and a very little pittance goes to the needy in many cases. But you know, with all that, how hard we can easily become. Mike talked about the book room. We have a book that will be coming in. My brother Sam Lowry's down there. He produced it and he said there's books coming in. He gave me, or actually someone here in Greenville gave me a copy of this, of a young minister in Northern Ireland who ministers among the Jews, and he read of the exodus from Russia, these Jewish people, and how they were trapped for a while in Italy. They were needy. They needed food. They needed clothing. They needed help. They needed hope. And they needed the Word of God. I suppose millions of Christians read the same story. But millions of Christians didn't go to help them. Through people like him, thousands of Christians gave sacrificially to help them. And only eternity will tell the ultimate good, as Jews took the word of God as well as the food for their bodies. How hard we have become. It's very easy to dismiss the poor and the needy. There's a scripture that haunts me, because this love not only will deal with their bodies, it will pay attention to their spiritual needs. And the scripture that haunts me is this: the Lord Jesus sent word to John the Baptist as the final proof that John could be sure this is the true Messiah. This is what he said: go and tell him the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Look at America tonight. Look at America tonight. Where has the gospel mostly been preached in America this Sabbath day? The gospel has mostly been preached in suburbia, just where we are. The gospel has been preached, but I fear in all too many cases, the poor do not have the gospel preached unto them. Now, we can blame what we will. We can curse governments and political theories all we will. But Jesus said, you love your neighbor with the love that will reach his spiritual needs, that will labor for him in prayer, that will reach to him in evangelism, that will then seek to build him up in discipleship, that will give of yourself and your substance to do the work of God among the poor. And that will do it. This is a passing thought you might want to give a great deal more consideration to. That will do it out of respect for him and for his advantage, and not your own. We have all met people who are very good, apparently, at giving to the poor, or even of ministering to the poor. as long as they can lord it over them, as long as they can get some advantage, whether in money or in reputation. But what Jesus is teaching is, you love them as yourself. Do good to them in body, do good to them in soul. Labor to present them saved before God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.